Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Okay, let's learn a little bit. Today, what I would like to do is try to get through assorted topics to finish up Simin Sadiches. And then the plan will be Be'ezros Hashem. If we get through that, then on Wednesday, Be'ezros Hashem, we'll start with Simin Sadiches. No shir tomorrow, as tomorrow is Tuesday. Generally, no shir on Tuesdays. But Be'ezros Hashem, that will be the plan. That's what we're going to try to get through today. So let's start with this. We've been talking about Bittul B'Shishim, we've been talking about the difference between Min B'Mino versus Min B'She'eno Mino, how they both require Shishim, whereas Min B'She'eno Mino requires Shishim Midaraisa, the way we paskin Tamki Iker is Daraisa. Min B'She'eno Mino only requires Shishim Midarabanan, but sometimes it's not so clear whether you have Shishim, because you don't know exactly how much fell in. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Sadi Zayin tells us that discusses an issue of Kchal, what if you have an udder of an animal. You don't know how much is milk, how much is meat. So you're not sure how to be mishaer the shishim. So the Gemara says you have to be mishaer keneged kulo. So the Gemara says, bididei, the Gemara raises the question, bididei misharinan, o b'maydi nafik minei misharinan, and the Gemara answers, pshita de bididei misharinan, de'ibe maydi nafik minei minayadinan. If you're only going to be mishaer the milk that comes out of the kchal, you're not going to have any idea how much that is. So you have to assume that the entire thing is Isser. So the Torah writes that just like the Gemara says that with regard to Kal, the same is going to be true with regard to Kalim. If you have Kalim that have Blios inside of them, which is obviously much more common case, you have Kalim that have Blios inside of them, and those Kalim are stuck into a pot, you're never going to figure out how many Blios, what the volume of the Blios in the Kalim are. You're not going to be able to figure that out. So what do? You have to be mishaer keneged the entire kli. So the Torah writes, "Hamevashel b'kederas iser shi bas yoma." If you're cooking with a treifa pat, oh, tochev kaf shel iser, or you stick a spoon or a ladle that's treif beheter in a kosher dish, v'chi agav nabasa b'chalav, or for that matter, it could be a basa b'chalav issue. Tzarich shishim neged kol akadero, neged kol mashen tochev me'akaf, sheinon yodin kama balu lo shnahein shel cheres o eitz o mateches. Says the Torah, it doesn't matter what the material the kelim are made out of. You have to be mishayer keneged whatever portion of the ladle of the spoon went into the pot. So if the spoon went into the pot, obviously some of the spoon didn't go into the pot. You hold it in your hand. Some of the ladle you're holding in your hand, but whatever part went into the pot, whatever its volume is, and the way to measure that volume is by water displacement. Whatever its volume is, you measure that as shishim. So you stick a treif of spoon into a pot, you have to measure corresponding to the entire spoon. That's what the Torah quotes. But then the Torah quotes the Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees. V'arav Rabbeinu Peretz hichmir b'kaf shel mateches. He says, dafke, if it's made out of metal, you need to be even more machmir. L'hatzruch shishim keneged kulo. That if a metal spoon is put into a hot pot of food, you have to measure against the entire spoon, even the part of the spoon that didn't get dipped into the pot, because metal conducts heat. Cham miktsaso, cham kulo, and the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam, meaning that's pasha, that's a reality, that's physics, that metal conducts heat. But beyond that, it's the Rabbeinu Peretz's Chiddush is, if metal conducts heat, it also conducts blios. That just like heat is gonna, if you ever eat soup, hot soup, with an actual silver spoon, and not just other types of metal, cheaper metals, you have an actual silver, so the handle becomes very, very hot, right? Because metal conducts heat, so if metal conducts heat, it also conducts blios. That's the assumption of Rabbeinu Peretz. Beis Yosef and the Dark Emotion, Simon Sadi Dal, where this is discussed in much greater detail, say that lavdavka, meaning metal conducts heat, but lavdavka, that it conducts tam, that it conducts blios, but that's Shitas Rabbeinu Peretz. Now the Rashba, in Chulin Tzad Yizayin on the base, quotes a Ravid. And it's also, this Ravid is quoted over here in the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef quotes the Ravid as follows. Shalo amru ela b'isr she'eno chozer lehechshero, k'chal uch yotzi bo, v'chein b'kdera shal cheretz, she'eno yotzi mi deidof yo li olam. Aval b'kdeira shal mateches, v'kav shal eitz, u'kayotze bo, ein misharin b'kulo, ela omdin omid yafa kami yatsi mimenu misharin bo. That the idea that you measure against the entire kli only applies if it's not a metal spoon, and you're therefore unable to kasher it. But a metal kli, you would have to measure just on the absorption and not the kli itself. I mean, he seems to be saying that the idea of going against the entire spoon is that when you have a treifa spoon and there's no way you can ever make it kosher, then the entire spoon becomes treif. But if it's a metal spoon, the fact that it can be kashered is an indication that it's really only the blios that make a difference, not the spoon itself. So therefore, you have to be mesha'er against the blios. Meaning the Ravid implies that the reason we're generally mesha'er keneged kulo is not simply because we don't know. We don't know how many blios are in there. We don't know how much blios. So we have to, it's impossible to track. So we have to be mesha'er keneged kulo. No, the Ravid seems to be saying something else. That even if you do know, if a spoon cannot be kashered, the entire spoon becomes a cheftza shaliser. Even if you're fully aware that it's not completely, that the blios do not equal the full volume of the spoon, you still count the full volume of the spoon if it's shalcheres, if it's something that's not kasherable. Problem is, it's against the Gemara, right? The Gemara says that the reason we're mashar kenegd kulos mi adinon kama nafik minei. How could we ever know how much blios are coming out of it? Which implies that if we do know, then you can measure against the blios. That's a major question on the Ravid, and that's why we don't paskin like the Ravid. The Beis Yosef explicitly rejects the Ravid. Then the Beis Yosef goes on, and he quotes the Ramban and the Rashba, who point out that we only don't know how much is coming out if we don't know how much went in. But if I know exactly what went in, meaning it's a brand new kli, and I've used it once, and I used it for exactly a kezayis of chelev or a kezayis of nevela, so I know there's no more than, it could be a giant ladle, but I know it can't have more blios than all the machalos asuras it came in contact with. So if all the machalos asuras it came in contact with is only a kezayis, so obviously the ladle is not going to have more than a kezayis of blios. Both the Ramban and the Rashba make this point. If I know what it came in contact with, I know for sure there can't be more than that amount in the spoon, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch over here in Sif Hei paskins. But then the Rashba adds a further chiddush. The Rashba dafka adds a further chiddush, and he says, "V'chein adin im nir kezayis chelav bekaf yeshana she'enu bas yoma, av meisa yeshana bas yoma yesh lomar dechazar kolma shabalua betocha kaf mi basu bechalav kechatichas nevela ubekulam misharinan tebemay denafik minelo yadinan." Meaning, if let's say the spoon had other blios of heter in it from beforehand. Meaning, I gave a case before, a brand new spoon, I only used it once, and it was for a kezayis of chelev. What if it's not a brand new spoon, but it's a kosher spoon? It's a kosher spoon, and I've used it for kosher food lots and lots of times. And now, I use it with a kezayis of chelev. So, is the volume of that I'm measuring against a kezayis, because right now I use it with a kezayis of chelev? Or do you say, no, the volume that I'm measuring against now is more than a kezayis? So the Rashba writes that if the spoon had other blios of heter in it from beforehand, and then it came into contact with the Isser, even if I know how much volume the Isser was, we might say Chaticha Nas Nevela and all the other blios in the spoon, and have to measure Keneged Kulo. The Ramban disagrees with that part of the Rashba. So again, both the Ramban and the Rashba agree that if I know the spoon was only used once, and all the blios in the spoon are just a kezayis of chelev, so that's it. It's only mishar keneged kezayis. But where the Ramban and the Rashba veer from each other is if the spoon was used plenty of times before, it was used a few times before, but the first time it was used, the first several times it was used was for a dvar heter, and it was used now once with a kezayis of chelev. So the Rashba says, now you have to be mishar keneged kulo, whereas the Ramban says, no, the mistavra dolar meaning bebalua, chaticha atzma nasas nevela. You're not going to say chaticha nasas nevela on a belia, ve'in misharinon, baby yishon me'im chadasha, el b'mayte balalavad. All we're going to, there's no chanan by blios, you only have to measure against the actual iser, against that kezayis of chelev. So how do we paskin on this issue? So most Rishonim assume that there is chaticha nasan available by blios, but the Gra points out over here in the Bira Gra that maybe there isn't, because maybe you need a chaticha A bliya is not a chaticha. Chaticha nasavela maybe is dafka, that it's got to be an actual food, but a bliya is not a chaticha. And also, furthermore, the Prima Gadim suggests maybe it's not called derech bishel, and we only say chanan when something is derech bishel, because it comes from basar b'chalav. So in our case, we can also possibly suggest, like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no chanan b'shari surim, meaning that adds a level of kula over here, that you have a machlokas, which we didn't really discuss in detail yet, but we know exists, whether Chatir Nas Nevela only applies to Basar B'chalav or to Shari Surim as well. So if you're going to add to, so we'll say, okay, we hold Chanan B'Shari Surim. Okay, maybe yes. But do we hold Chanan by Blios? A further Machlokas. So when you put the two together, it gives you more reason to be Mekil. So it's two Deus in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei, but the Rama writes, Ve'ikr, Vasvar Rishona Iker, rather. And the Shach explains that Ramaz is Machriya that way, even for Shari Surim. Meaning, even though some say there's no Chanan for Shari Surim, still we're going to be Machmir. So even though we just set up a situation where it sounds like almost like a Svek Sveka, that Suffolk, maybe there's no Chanan B'Shari Surim, even if there is Chanan B'Shari Surim, maybe not on Blios, but the Ramaz says, Hasvar Rishona Iker, that we're Machmir, that there's going to be Chanan even on the Blios, and therefore, if you have to measure if it was a kosher spoon that one time came in contact with something not kosher, and you have to measure keneged ma, you measure keneged the entire spoon and not just the volume of the food that was not kosher. Then,
just to clarify, according to the Rashba, right, having you say that there's Hanan by Blias, didn't he just say right beforehand, we just said that it's only going to be on the amount that you know touched? So therefore, how could you say that that whole spoon is gonna
whatever spoon level of the spoon was dipped in? Meaning, let's say you dipped two kazesim worth of a spoon into the soup, right, into the cholent, but there was only one kazais of chalev that spoon ever had come in contact with, but it also came.
Okay.
Then the Rama makes a very distinction. And this is not, you know, not super halacha lemaisa, but fascinating. The Ramah quotes a Mordechai, the Mordechai in Chul and Tafrei Shayin Tes, who's mechalik between klicheres and klimatchus. And the Ramah in Sif Hei has a surprising way of understanding that Mordechai. The Ramah writes, v'yesh she'inun mechalkin ben kaf yashon l'chadash. So some don't make any distinction between a new kli and an old kli, meaning whether the blios are already a tampagum or not. Rak ben klicheres l'sharkin. The only distinction to make is it a klicheres or is it made out of other materials? V'omrim de klicheres di efshar lahafer di israel idei hagala amrinan hakli na'asa nevela. Avalo b'sharkin v'tov lachush l'chumra. Whoa, what's the Ramah telling us over here? Apparently he understands that by klicheres, even if the klicheres was just used once, meaning it's a klichadash, it's never been used for other things. We're not talking about chatich nas nevela of the blios of a heter together with the blios of iser all becoming nevela. No. The Ramah says, you only use this kli once and you used it for chelev. It's the only time you ever use the kli for a kazayis of chelev. You still measure keneged the entire volume of the kli because the kli becomes a nevela. We say chatich nas nevela on the kli itself, says the Rama. Wow, the cheres itself becomes nevela. Why does the cheres itself become nevela? Because you can't kashu cheres. So the bekli cheres, the efshar lahafer the israel yidei agola amrina na kli nas nevela avelo b'shar kelim. Essentially, even if it's a new kli without any previous blios of heter, the cheres becomes nevela from the blios of iser. That is chiddush number one of the Rama, and that is a tremendous chumra as far as the kli cheres. Now let's just take that apart for a second. Is that true that when you have a kli cheres that has blios, that there's no way to ever kasher a kli cheres from the blios? So there may be three exceptions to that rule, and we're going to have to figure out, do any of those exceptions make a difference over here? I mean, one exception to that rule is if you put it back into the kiln. then it's kashered. So that would kasher cheres. You return it into the kiln. So l'chora, and the Badei HaShulchan points this out in the Biurim, that's not called kashering. That's a brand new kli. Meaning when you put it back in, it has a new shame kli. And you know, as far as dinei tumah v'tahara as well, it would be considered a brand new kli. So therefore, we view this kli as something that's not kasherable. But then there's another way to kasher, and that's called the seko mibifnim. That if you light the fire from the inside of the kli, you burn out the internal part of the kli, but maybe the Mordechai considers that not kasherable either, because we don't allow a seiko b'mifnim as a matter of halacha by kli cheres, because chashinon sheyachos alav sheyishaver. That we're when we learn in Hagolas Kalim, we'll discuss that by kli cheres we don't kasher kli cheres, even though they could be theoretically, because if you would subject it to the level of heat necessary to kasher it, you'd be too nervous to subject it to that heat the way you're supposed to, because you're going to be afraid it's going to break, so you're not going to make a hesek ma'al yisa. So as a matter of halacha, you're never really going to be able to actually kasher it out. But then the Gili Marsha points out a third way that a kli cheres can be kashered, and this one may make a difference for us. The Gemara Marsha points out that there's one case where even a kli cheres is not subject to this chumrah. Again, this is a gevaldik chumrah. You have a kli cheres that was used for one kezayis, let's say, of chaylev, and you have to be mishair, connected the entire kli cheres, the entire volume of the kli, even though it was never used for anything but that one kezayis of the chaylev. The Gili Marsha points out this exception would be based on the shach in Simen Shin Chav Gimel, Sivkan Dal, Simen Shin Chav Gimel. That's not even on the curriculum this year. What's Simen Shin Chav Gimel? So the shach is by Chala. That there's the Shach points out that when you have chalas chutz la'aretz, so it gets absorbed in a kli cheres, you can rely on hagala gimel pa'amim to kasher even a kli cheres for chalas chutz la'aretz. So why? Because chalas chutz la'aretz is an issur d'rabbanan that's ein lo ikur min haTorah. Whenever you have an issur d'rabbanan that's totally invented out of it's a complete rabbinic invention, and it's not something that has an ikur min haTorah. It's not a chashashta oraisa, right? It's not that the rabbanan tell you to be choshish that of a concern mida oraisa. It's just it's ein lo ikur min haTorah. We could rely on such blios of an issur d'rabbanan that's ein lo ikur min haTorah we could rely that such blios can be kashered with Hagala Gimel Pavim. In fact, the Mechaber paskens this way. The Mechaber in Sim Kufyud Gimel, I think, is something that we're going to try to cover this year. In Sim Kufyud Gimel, in Machole Akum, right, in Hilchos Bishal Akum, the Mechaber says if you have a Kli Cheres, it's Balua with Bishal Akum. So the Mechaber says that Kli Cheres is below with Bishal Akum. You could do Hagala Gimel Pavim to kasher the Kli. Right? Why are you allowed to kasher the kli with hagala gimel pam? Because it's an issur d'rabban shein lo ikur min haTorah. So if with such isurim that are issur d'rabban shein lo ikur min haTorah, l'chora, let's say you had a kli cheres that came into contact with a kezayis of chalas chutz la'aretz, right? An issur d'rabban shein lo ikur min haTorah, and then you subsequently put that kli into your chalent. Right, so now you're only going to have to be mesha'er keneged the blia, not keneged the entirety of the kli. Right, this is because the whole lumdus of the Mordechai, the way the Rama understands it, is that or the Mordechi, I don't know however you prefer to pronounce it. I think we typically in yeshivas we say we call him Mordechai. The whole lumdus of the Mordechai is the way at least in Ashkenazi yeshivas, I think in Sephardi yeshivas maybe they call him Mordechi. The whole lumdus of the Mordechai is that there's no way to parse it out. There's no way to pull out the blios, and since there's no way to pull out the blios, the kli and the blia becomes one and the same. So the entire kli becomes a chefza shalisser. But that's not true if there is a way to pull it out. So the Gili Marsha points out there is a way to pull it out when it's an issur d'rabbanan shein lo ikur min haTorah. So that is chiddush number one of the Rama. Oh, we got some questions here in the chat. Yoni Olson, is that the Ravid? It's not exactly the Ravid. It's similar to the Ravid, not exactly. Because did the Ravid say that the kli itself becomes the is nasis nevela? Meaning the Ravid seems to be understanding the Gemara that we're mishar keneged kulo. That he's saying it becomes like a chafta shalisr. Yeah, that is very similar to the Ravid, but the Ramah's quoting from Mordechai. David Krish, what if the Bliyos become a Tam Pagum? Would we be able to kasher the Kli? Right, so you wouldn't be able to kasher it. You still wouldn't be able to kasher a Kli Cheres, but Tam Pagum, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, right? That's what we were discussing before, that when we talk about the other Bliyos becoming Chanan, oh, would you be allowed to? No, you would not be allowed to use it. We'll get to that when we do Hechsher Kelim. You're not allowed to use Trefer Kelim even if the Blios are Tam Pagum. That's a Gzeira in Ben Yom to Ben Yom that we're not allowed to use such Kelim. Okay, so that's Chiddush number one of the Rama. But the Rama is telling me another Chiddush also, meaning along with his tremendous Chumra about Klei Cheres, he has a tremendous Kula with regard to Klei Matechas. And that is that there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela, because the Blios can be removed. Meaning, the Rama said, we're not mechalik at all between a new and an old Kli. Not at all. Which means to say that even on a Kli Matchas, if you're dealing with a metal Kli that's had other Blios in it, we're not going to say Chaticha Nas Nevela on those Blios. Because we're not mechalik at all between a new and old Kli. You're only going to worry about the Blios of Isra that just went into the Kli. So even though it's a Kli Yashan and has been used before, you only need to take into account the current Bliya of Isser, because there's no Chanan on the Bliyos of Heter that are in the Dofnei Kli. So the Shach in Sivka and Chaf Aleph did not think that this is what the Mordechai meant. He didn't think that the Chumra of the Ramah. So again, the Ramah said two things, a major Chumra about Kli Cheres and a major Kula about Kli Mateches. So the Shach in Sivka and Chaf Aleph said, nah, that the Ramah's Chumra is not true. A spoon with no previous blios is not going to become a nevela. He doesn't explain why, other than to say, "Eino ol aladas shaguf hacheres yasa nevela." He says, it's not shaykh. The cheres itself is going to become nevela. It's just not ol aladas. What does that mean? It's eino ol aladas. It's not shaykh. What does that mean? That meaning if someone asks a kasha, they just say, nah, it's not shaykh. That's not a kasha, right? If they need to use their hands to make it a kasha, it's not a kasha, right? So you have to explain. What does it mean? It's eino ol aladas. You can't. So what does that mean? So the Chavis Das elaborates a little bit more. And the Chavis Das writes, Gemara Peites and Beis tells us that if you're holding Begidin Benosin Tam, that Gira Nasha doesn't give off any tam, the Gira Nasha would not make the stuff that it's cooked with Aser. Why? Because the Gira Nasha itself, it's Iser, but it's not Benosin Tam. So says Chavis Das, you mean to tell me that Cheres is more flavorful? I mean, the Cheres itself, the actual pottery, is more flavorful than the Gira Nasha? If it's ain't b'nos in tam, it's ain't b'gidin b'nos in tam. Then it can't. Then it's not gonna answer anything. Cheres has no tam. It shouldn't answer that which is cooked with it. It shouldn't create a taroves b'chlal. In fact, even if the cheres was actual iser, like avodah zarah, it wouldn't answer that which is cooked with it. You don't say such. It's not shaykh say such a thing on cheres, and therefore the shach disagrees with the first chiddush of the Ramah. And he holds that Cheres itself does not become Nevela, and that's what the Bach holds, that's what the Gra holds, that's what the Amshel Shlomo holds, all against the Ramah. And the Shach says the Mordechai only meant to say the second Chiddush, the Kula, that there's no Chanan and Blios in a metal spoon. However, there's a problem with that one also, because the Taz points out, you may be able to get the old Blios of Heter out of the metal, so it may be true that the old Blios of Heter can be removed from the metal, and therefore, you might want to say, oh, okay, so we could view those blios as separate from, but the only way you're ever going to get those blios of Heter out is if you're also getting the blios of Isser out. Meaning, you might be able to get the blios of Heter out of the metal, but you know what you're not going to get the blios of Heter out of? You're not going to separate them from the blios of Isser. So shouldn't you say Chanan anyway on an old metal spoon? So to say this second din, this major kula by a Kli Mateches, and to say that, oh, because it's separate, you could separate it out, we're not going to say Chanan at all in the Kli Mateches. How can you say that, says the Taz? Why does that make any sense? The Chanan is in the different flavors that are mixing together. You're not going to be mechalik between a Kli Chadash and a Kli Yashan. A Kli Chadash has only the Blios of Iser. Kli Yashan has Blios of Iser and Blios of Heter that join together. So to the extent that the Blios are drawn out of the Kli, they're all drawn out of the Kli simultaneously. So when assessing how to paskin on these issues, if it ever actually comes to a psak, we're of course also going to take into account that whether we say Hanan Bishari Surim is already a matter of dispute, right? And it's already a major machlokas rishonim. So there's going to always be a bigger netiyah lahachmir on these kinds of shailas when it comes to basar b'chalav than there will be by Shari Surim, because you always have to keep in mind the idea that. That Shari Surim may not have a din of Hanan at all. Let's see what Gabe right over here. Oh, for stove, maybe it's only Shaykh for food to be a Nevela, and that's why it's not Shaykh for Charis to become a Nevela. Yeah, that's what we were suggested. That Charis can't be better than Gidin. It can't be more of a Michael than a Gid. Gabe, I don't understand. If the Charis doesn't have time, even after Bliya, then how can it be Poli time into the food? It's not. The tam, meaning I bite down into the cheres, won't I taste tam? But you're not tasting the taste of cheres. You're tasting the taste of the blios that are in the cheres. It's the blios that are the tam. It's not the cheres itself that's tam. Probably you won't taste either, between me and you. What does that mean? I don't know what that means, but that's your day. I don't know. I think who said? I think Rabbi Tendler, when he taught Hechsher Kalim, used to say that you can see when they dip Kalim into these boiling hot things, you see like these impurities rise to the top. Like you see that there are blios in there. Okay. Another possible exception, well, this, I guess, the first possible exception to Bittul B'Shishim, we've been discussing Bittul B'Shishim, is a concept called Nikar Isser, right? If you have Shishim L'Chor, everything should be okay. But if it's Nikar Isser, then there's not going to be Bittul, because Bittul assumes that there's a Tarovus, and you can't find the Isser. The Isser is mixed Tarovus, means totally mixed in, right? But if it's Nikar Isser, then you're not going to rely on Shishim. So as Sablovsky pointed out in his Shiurim, I was just listening yesterday, that this concept might be a major kasha on a famous Reb Chaim. There's Reb Chaim in the third parak of Baba Kama who says that Bittul Barov in the case of Safek is based on Acharam Lahatos. But in a case where there's a Ruba Delesa Kaman, like a statistical Rove, the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin tells us that we also follow the Rove, but it's not clear exactly what the source of Ruba Delesa Kaman, of following a Ruba Delesa Kaman, is really all about. So one opinion is Shitas Rashi, that it's also learned from Acharam Nahatos. Right? Then Rashi quotes another Deya, that Na Mistamakach Kiblu Misinai. That it must be some halacha l'moshe misinai that we follow Ruba Delesa Kaman, that we're holchen acharov by Ruba Delesa Kaman. Reb Chaim asks that the din Bittul Barov is l'chora not really like any of these categories, meaning there's no suffix by Bittul Barov, so it can't be based on acharav lahatos. So what's the source of Bittul Barov? Meaning if there's no leidas hasafik, so then what's then Acharam Lahatos shouldn't be Shaykh. So Rav Chaim says that the idea that you need three Dayanim to give a Psak is actually a double Chiddush, meaning Dinim Amnes B'Shlosha, right? Mishnah Sanhedrin. The idea that you need three Dayanim to give a Psak is two Chiddushim. First of all, that you follow the majority of the Dayanim, and second, that the Psak of the majority becomes the Psak of the entire Beis Din. Meaning, why do you have to say Dinim Amnes? What if I get two Dayanim and they both agree? So is that good enough? Meaning it's really dinam amnus b'shnayim, right? Because two outvote the one, and I follow the two. So just get two dayanim, let them both agree, and then shine. That's it. I'm done. I have everything I need. No, it doesn't work. You need dinam amnus b'shlosha, and yes, a 2-1 vote wins because that's a psak of the Beis Din. So that second element is Bittul Barov. That's it's all from Acharam Lahatos. But even in the situation of even by Dayanim, you see that there's this notion of Bittul Barov. So Rabbi Sablovsky just pointed out that Lechora, the concept of Nikar Isser is a kasha in all this. Because we don't say Bittul Barov when it's Nikar Isser. So he said, Eilecha Nikar Isser Gadol Mizeh, that one of the Dayanim is, he's the Isser, so to speak. He's the one that you're trying to be Mevatel. And you see him. He's an independent person. He's standing there separately from everybody else. So Lechora, the concept of Nikar Isser flies in the face of this vart, this famous Shtikal Torah of Reb Chaim. Rabbi Sadlovsky then started playing around. You know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that after a Beis Din votes, that you're not supposed to, the Dayanim are not supposed to say, oh, I voted in your favor, but it was the other guys. They just outvoted me, and, you know, sorry, I did what I could, but I can't. You know, which, by the way, happens a lot, not only in Batei Din, it happens just in communal work, you know, whenever there's a board that has to make a decision or something, so people will often throw all the other members of the board under the bus. You know, I tried, but you know, it's the other guys. You know, so maybe that's called that it's not nikkur isra. He said, no, that's not what it means. I mean, clearly the dayan is nikkur. It's the dayan that we're being right. So Yoni also said the psak's not nikkur. No one knows how they voted after the psak necessarily. That's what we were just saying. Gabe says they do know. Okay. Doesn't Reb Chaim address this by saying that we don't paskin based on the dayan, but based on the psak, which is b'makom parush, where the nikkur isra doesn't exist. What does that mean? He says that? Remember, I didn't even look up.
I remember having a conversation with Rav Sadlovsky about this, and I think he said something along these lines. B'shem Reb Chaim. Again, it's a lumdus. It's a lumdus that it's not the Dayanim who are passing based on the Psak. The Psak is in a separate location from where the Dayanim are.
Yeah, that's how he answered his own kasha. Okay, maybe. All right. It's hard to translate over. It's such a different kind of discussion. You know. Be that as it may, none of that really relates to us. Nikkur Isser is mafkia the bittel, meaning there's no bittel when you have Nikkur Isser. So the Rama in Sivchas discusses a case where you have a taroves, that if you add water, the fat will become recognizable. Meaning right now, it's not Nikkur, but you can make it Nikkur. So you have to do that in order to avoid relying on bittel. So why? Why would I have to do that in order to avoid? Meaning right now, I don't see the Isser, but there is a way to make it seen. There's a way to make it happen. So do I have to do that, or can I just say it's batel? So it could be that the definition of Nikkur Isser includes any time that you can make it become Nikkur. Meaning, Nikkur doesn't mean that I recognize it now. It means that it's possible to parse it out. It's possible to separate it out. And that would be fundamental to really the definition of Nikkur Isser. Right? That's what Nikkur Isser means. The other way to understand it, though, and this is the way Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz understands it, is that one can argue that Nikkur has to be currently recognizable. As far as the strict definition of Nikkur Isser, it means I recognize it right now. But over here we have a Chumra Midrabanan that's similar to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. What's the concept of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Beitza writes, and we'll discuss Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin obviously in much greater detail, that we prefer not to rely on bittel, right? So we wait until it's mutter. That's the concept of why is Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin not batel? Because why would I allow it to be batel and just rely on bittel? Just wait till later on and it's going to be mutter anyway. So don't rely on bittel. So Bialas Nabshitz learns that the Ramah is saying something very similar. Why would you rely on bittel when you can make it Nikkur Isser, and then you won't rely on Bittel? If you could eventually separate out the Isser, right, then do that. It would turn out that if you could eventually separate out the Isser, but by the time you do that, the food will spoil in between, then according to this, you would not have to wait. Right? I mean, the whole idea is Achi yochlenu be'isr, yochlenu be'heter. Why eat it with the Bittel? Just eat it when it's kosher. But if it would spoil, then there's no, and waiting means you're not going to be able to eat it when it's kosher, then you would not have to wait. The Rashba writes that by Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, you don't need to wait in such cases. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says the same should apply over here. If the halacha were about a definition of what's called Nikkur Isser on a Dar Raisa level, then you would say, I don't care if it's going to spoil. It's Nikkur Isser, and therefore there's no bittel. But if it's like a quasi Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin kind of idea, that you might as well just wait till it's mutter and have it then. So then we would then if it would spoil, you can't say such a svara, and therefore you would be able to be makel. It is interesting though that it's not exactly like a davar sheyesh l'matirin. Meaning by davar sheyesh l'matirin is not batel, not just because you could have the heter part of the tyroves beheter without relying on bittel. But you'll even be allowed to have the Isser part once it becomes mutter. So, Adji Yochlenu Be'Isser means, why rely on a bittel of the Isser when the Isser is going to become mutter anyway? By Nikkur Isser, by saying about what the Ramah said about where you could separate it out, the isser is never going to become mutter. The isser, if you have to separate it out, that means you're going to have to throw away the isser. It means you're never going to be able to eat the isser part. So it's not exactly the same svara of davar shiyesh matir. Davar shiyesh matir means you mamish lose nothing. Ad sheyochlenu beisser, yochlenu beheter. Wait, so you won't lose anything. Ooh, a lot over here. Let's see. Okay. Could Rama mean this is a form of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Charchila? Of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Charchila. Because, but you're not being Mevatl, we'll have to discuss that. What the gather of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Charchila, meaning over here it's already in. You're not doing a Maisa being Mevatl L'Isser, so we'll have to see whether that's, oh, what is Gabe right over here? This might be the reserve. I feel like the Mordechai's final answer answers Rav Sobolovsky's question. That the Mordechai's final answer is actually Mar Rabbeinu Yekar Ha'ikar Ha'ikra B'Sanhedrin Hu V'Sanhedrin Kvu Neim L'Shchol Gazes V'Dam Yitzas Yisrael V'Echol Chadmam V'Nehem Deinos V'Meis B'Gufan Al-Akhra Dibor Nivdol V'Nifrash M'Piyam. Yeah, that must be right, though, if that's what you're referring to. L'Ch Ora. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the
right time. Yeah. Okay. Now, that's as far as Nikra Isra is concerned. Next. Another item that does not become batel, milsa davida l'taima. Now, if you rely on shishim and then you taste it, and you can still taste the taste of the non-kosher food in it, right? Meaning you had shishim, but you could still taste it. So most rishonim say that it's a real problem, even though you have shishim, because the entire point of shishim is to be batel l'tam. But if you see that it didn't work, so then you have a real problem. So the Gemara in Maseches Beitzah, Daf Lamed Chesem Beis, discusses where you have two women baking a cake together, and each woman has her own tchum Shabbos, and they're putting in ingredients that are limited to their own tchum, right? So the Gemara says the resulting cake that has ingredient, that has flour that's subject to this woman's tchum, and sugar that's subject to that woman's tchum, and whatever, vanilla subject to that woman's tchum, and they're all coming from different places. So the Gemara says that it's karaglav shel shnehem, that it's limited to the overlapping areas. So the Gemara asks, why? Just say it's batel b'rov, and it would follow the tchum of the one who put in the rov of the ingredients. So in that context, the Gemara suggests that a milsa d'avida l'taima cannot become batel. Now, mistama, everyone's putting in ingredients that are avida l'taima, that are going to change the flavor of the cake, and therefore it cannot become batel. That's the context of where we have this idea of milsa d'avida l'taima. So pashtus, the same would be true when something is less than shishim, but actually gives tam, that it should not be batel, because it's a milsa d'avida l'taima, because it really gives tam. And Raman, Sivches, mentions that avalim no sein tam, osa kaderevu, osa mitzad atzmo, as long as you can taste it, it's not going to be batel. And therefore, says Rama, if you have melach, you have tavlin, you have salt, you have spices, midvarim davidi l'tayma, not talking about salt that has blood absorbed in it. No, salt that's asr mitam salt. For whatever reason, it itself is asr. The tavlin itself is asr. It's not going to be batel b'shishim as long as it still gives tam. So what's the nature of that din? Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Meaning, do we say that mid d'oraisa it's batel b'shishim, and just mid d'rabbanan, because it's avida l'taima, it's a problem? Or do we assume that, no, this is a din d'oraisa, that it's tam kiker, so it's giving tam, so it's going to be asr, mid d'oraisa. So some rishonim suggest that on a d'oraisa level, once you have shishim, it's really batel, even if you can still taste it, because the tam that you can detect must be so insignificant that it's not even called tam kiker anymore. And that's only a drabbanan level tam, a drabbanan level concern. And that's why the Shach writes in the name of the Yisr V'Heter, that if you know that there's shishim, but you're not sure if there's tam, let's say you don't know if there's tam, you can rely on the Timas Kfeila, even according to the Ramah, who doesn't rely on Timas Kfeila. Because the entire Yisr is only Nisr drabbanan. However, Rabbi Kiv Eger points out that the Ran says that it's still Asur Midar Raisa. If it gives tam, even if it's less than shishim. So the pashtus is that it's a machlokas between the Yisr V'Heter and the Ran. If you have shishim, but you also still have tam, is that an Issa Daraisa? It's definitely Asr. Is it Daraisa Drabanan? Nafkamina is, can you rely on a kfeila? And that seems to be machlokas, Yisr V'Heter and the Ran. But the Badei Shulchan and the Biurin in Dibur Maskel Bavad just points out that maybe not. It's not mukhrach 100% that it's machlokas, because the Ran is not talking about spices. He's talking about a food that's no Saint Tam, even though it's already more than shishim to one. And it could be that tavlin is different than a food. It could be that tavlin is different because they're not considered to have their own tam. It's considered to just enhance the tam of the food. So it could be what the Shach writes in the name of the Yisr V'Heter, that the whole thing is only derabanan. That's dafka by tavlin. That's no sin tam. When the Ran says that it's an Yisr Midar Raisa, that might only be talking about actual food. That's no sin tam. It's a tough chiluk to make, but the Badei Shulchan just suggests that maybe there's a way to make shalom between the Yisr V'Heter and the Ran. He discusses that at length over there. Another exception to the din of Bittul B'Shishim is the din of Beitza. And this is a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara Tzadi Chesem Aleph, it's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin, says that by a Beitza we require Shishim Ve'echad. Such a strange number, right? You need 61, not 60. Not just Shishim. So if you cook a Beitza that was treif, either from how does a Beitza become treif? It's a non-kosher species. It's whatever, I don't know, name a non-kosher bird. And right, it's an egg of a non-kosher bird. Or from a bird that was a treifa. Or it was a fertilized egg. What's the problem with the fertilized egg? So Machlok is Rishonim, what exactly the problem is. Rashi writes in Sadi Chesem Aleph, Dibra Maskel Froach, that it's an Issa D'Arais of Nevela. The Rashba writes that it's an Issa D'Rabbanon because it's near a Kisheretz. But whatever it is, it's an Issa. Even if you then remove the egg, right? If you had like an ostrich egg and there's a bunch of chicken eggs, so you'll see it, you'll notice it, right? So you'll take out the trefa egg. So you remove the egg. But it was all cooked together, so you have to deal with the tam of the eggs all being cooked together, right? You're trying to make hard-boiled eggs. You want to make enough eggs for Erev Tavshilin for everybody, or to make egg salad for the, you know, a big shul shalosh hodis or something. And you accidentally cooked in the pot with the rest of the eggs that you were making hard-boiled eggs. You accidentally cooked an ostrich egg. So you got to take out the egg. But even if you do take out the egg, you still have to deal with the tam that egg gave to the other eggs. Discussion, and we showed him how in the world did the egg give tam to the other eggs. Doesn't have a shell around it. How does tam transfer through shells? Maybe we'll get there eventually also, but not for right now. Let's just assume tam transferred, right? So you gotta worry about ratios over here. So the Gemara says shishim v'echad. You need 61, not 60. Why? Where does this come from? It says machlokas Ramban and Rambam, and there may be two critical nafkaminas between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah. The Ramban writes, "Shatam lefi." The Kesef Mishnah is in Machlokes Asuras Perek Tes Vav Halacha Yutes. That's where the Rambam appears. So the Ramban, quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, also by the Beis Yosef, says, I mean, same person, but in both Svarim, "Shatam lefi sheyesh bebeitzim gedolim uketanim." You know, eggs come in all sorts of different sizes. You go to the supermarket and you see large eggs. Those are the small ones. The ones that they call large, those are the small ones. Then there's extra large. Those are a little bit bigger. Then there's jumbo. And those are, I think jumbo is bigger than extra large. Those are the very, very big ones, right? So small, medium, large, but they just call it different things. So Rav Shechter points out, they don't really just call it different things. The large ones actually are large. All the small ones and the medium ones, they sell to like Entenmann's, you know, to like these major bakeries, because they don't sell in the supermarket. No one wants teeny tiny eggs. So those eggs go elsewhere to more industrial settings. So large eggs, taka, are large. And it's nafka mina when it comes to Beitza Beninus, if you're trying to figure out shiurim of a kazayis and whatnot. So how do you how are you mishair? So some contemporary poskim say I take an extra large egg because a Beitza Beninus is extra large, right? Because a large is small and jumbo is big, so extra large must be Beninus. So that Rav Shechter points out is not true. Large is actually large. Extra large is actually extra large. Jumbo is actually humongous. But there is such a thing as a Beitza Beninus. But anyway. So the Ramban says that Shaitam v'shiyesh beitzim gedol lemukatan v'abal levatel beitza ein mashkiach ale liros imzu v'kulon shavus mamish levichas sifu achas lo tzirch l'shar al kol achas v'achas. Basically, Chazal were concerned you're going to have 60 eggs, but you're not going to know that the iser is an average size from that taroves. It's an average size egg. It might be a slightly larger egg than the rest of the eggs in the taroves, and therefore shishim is not going to be enough to be mevatel it. So that's why you need shishim v'echad to cover that discrepancy. Just in case it's a slightly larger egg, it's going to, the trefa egg is a slightly larger egg, will cover that that discrepancy. That's what the Rush writes, that's what the Ran writes, that's what the Tur writes, like the Shitas Ramban. The Rambam, however, in Machlokes Asuros Perek Tezav Halacha Yutes, totally different. He says, no, Beitza Shenimtza Ba'afroach, Shenishluka Im Beitza Mamutaros, you have a Beitza that's been fertilized, and you cook it together with kosher eggs, Im Haisa Im Shishim Va'achas, Vihi Harehin Mutaros. If you have 61 kosher eggs, and this one non-kosher egg, it's fine. Haisim Shishim Bilvad, Nesra Kol. Why? Says that I'm so strange. Since an egg is a beria, we're not going to allow bitul b'shishim. Only bitul b'shishim ve'echad. Since it's such a beria is a concept we'll discuss much again in much greater detail very soon, not in today's shir, obviously, but very soon. So, you know, the Gemara talks about a gid anasha being a beria. If you have a gid anasha mixed with other gidin, so you can't say chad betray batal, because a gid anasha is a beria. So a beria is, it's a thing, it's a whole entity, it's an entity. So since the egg is a whole entity, you're not going to say that it's batal b'shishim. That is deeply troubling for two reasons. First of all, the halacha by a beria is not that it's batal b'shishim ve'echad. The halacha by a beria is that a beria ain't a betela, right? It just doesn't become batal. It's too much of a davar chashuv to become batal at all. So to slightly adjust the numbers from 60 to 61 doesn't really seem to do justice to what a beria is supposed to be. Second of all, it's a beferish mishnah that bizman shemakiro, that if you recognize the beria, the gid, let's say, the gid anasha, remove it. And then the rest is only benosin tam. Meaning the tam that a beria emits is batel. It's going to be batel b'shishim. It's only if the beria is still there that the beria doesn't become batel. Over here what happens, you have the ostrich egg or the fertilized egg. You know which one it is. Take it out, throw it out. Now your only concern is the ratio of how large it was in comparison to all the other eggs. So that should be batel. That's the Rashba's Kasha quoted over here in the Kesem Mishnah. So the Kesem Mishnah explains that what the Rambam means is not he's not talking about the regular din of beria, that this is a beria. He's saying that he's concerned that one might forget about how chamur a beria is. So he built, the Chazal built an extra chumra midrabanan around the din of beria. Meaning, says the Kesem Mishnah, nearly shetam rabbeinu, she'asu ba heker kidei shelo yavo'u levatel osa atzma. That they made a heker that even if you throw away the egg, that we're going to require a greater ratio so that you don't come to think that even when you still have the egg that it could become batel. She'kshanira shino izeh bebitel pleitasa, if when you see that we're being more machmir about the ratio of what it takes to be mevatel, the tam of the egg, neida she'atzma einem mispatelis klal. So then you'll realize that the egg itself must have its own chumras, and that it can never become batel mneshi beria. So Chazal just wants you to take eggs more seriously than a regular shayla, so to be more machmir. So they remind me to always be more machmir by an egg, and then I'll remember that when the egg is actually intact, and in the taroves, that it's a beria and cannot become batel. So again, the Ramban understands that it's just to even out the slight variance of sizes in eggs. So that's why we require 61. Whereas the Rambam says, no, there's a gzera midrabanan to make sure that you take beria seriously. Two nafkamina between the Ramban and the Rambam. What if you make scrambled eggs? So you take your trefa egg and you put it with 60 other kosher eggs and you make scrambled eggs with all of them. So there's no beria here. Meaning there's no beria befaneinu to even say that, I need a reminder because if I ever have... No, everything's already been a scrambled egg now, so it's not a beria. So then according to the Rambam, you would only need 60. But according to the Ramban, the contents of the eggs range in size, and you still have to be choshesh, and you would still need 61. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is on the flip side. If there's a trefa egg that gets mixed in with not other eggs, but with other items. You have a trefa egg in your challant, you have a trefa egg in your whatever, anything that you're making. So you're making a bunch of potatoes and a trefa egg. So do you need shishim or do you need shishim ve'echad? So if you say like the Ramban, so shishim for sure, you don't need shishim ve'echad. The whole idea of shishim ve'echad is that since you're dealing only with eggs, you have to be concerned that the variance of sizes of eggs is going to throw off your cheshbin, right? Whereas according to the Rambam, if as long as there's an egg here, it's a beria. and therefore I have to be choshe, so I'm not going to treat eggs seriously enough unless I require shishim mechad. Now the Acharon point out, in every case that you're making a bunch of eggs, there's always more than just the eggs to be mevatel yet, right? Meaning, how do you make hard-boiled eggs? Anyone ever make hard-boiled eggs over here? Mm-hmm. What do? You take a bunch of eggs, you put them in a pot, and you turn on the fire. No, you do something else also. You put water in the pot. You don't just turn on the fire. If you're just turning on the fire, that's you're making your roasted egg for the Seder or something. It's the only time anyone ever roasts an egg directly over the fire. But if you're making if you're making hard boiled eggs, there's water in there also. So let's say I have 30 kosher eggs, one non kosher egg, and a whole bunch of water. So do I need 61 times the egg? I mean, the water is also. Obviously I get to cheshbon the water into the mix. So do I need 61 in that case? So the Acharon point out, of course you do. Of course you need 61 in that case, because even according to the Ramban, but even according to the Ramban, you would need 61, because as long as, how are you going to do that math? What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, I have my non-kosher egg. Okay, I know I have for sure 30 kosher eggs. So that's a 30-1 ratio. Now let me measure the water, clape this non-kosher egg. So it already worked with the assumption, the cheshbon that most people will make already works with the assumption that all the other eggs are the same size as this egg. So in order to make sure that you're safe as far as that assessment is going, even if only part of the tarovis is other eggs, the Ramban would still say you need shishim ve'echad. Okay, so anyway, so those are the two nafkaminas. That's the machlokes Ram Ramban and the two nafkaminas. One more point for today. David Kirsch, aren't there tons of different foods that come in different sizes? Why are we only applying the Ramban saying to beitza? I it's a good question, right? Meaning, like, every vegetable comes in different sizes also. Maybe it's more obvious that, no one talks about, numbers of vegetables as far as sizes, right? Meaning, if you eat a red pepper, it's not like, no one works with the assumption that I eat two red peppers for breakfast every day or something like that. You eat two eggs for breakfast every day, and you're assuming that you're eating the same thing for breakfast every day. Maybe that's Florida has really big oranges. Yes, that is true. Yeah, I hear the kasha. I don't know. Maybe the assumption. I mean, it might just be a psychological assumption that when it comes to eggs, people work with the assumption that they're the same, even though they're not. Gabe, redetermining the average size of eggs. Do we take into account the peewee and small-sized eggs are usually only produced in the first few months of the chicken's egg laying? So the majority of eggs it produces are medium and large. I don't know. How long is the chicken's egg-laying life? I don't know. I mean, you probably have to take into account all the eggs, right? The teeny tiny everything, and see what the average is. I don't know, mean, the median, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how to figure out the average. There is one more thing I wanted to discuss, and that is the Ramah's comment about chametz over here. Another exception to bittul b'shishim. The Ramah writes in Sif Ches that kol yisurin hanoagin Bizman hazeh, kula misbatim b'shishim. Every yisur that we have bizman hazeh is batel b'shishim. Milvad chametz b'pesach v'yayin nesach. Except for chametz pesach v'yayin nesach. I mean, this is the famous concept that chametz is asur b'mashuhu. So as machlokes we showed him why chametz is asur b'mashuhu. Rashi in Pesachim chavtesim beis writes that since it's an isur kares and lo bedili inshimine, it's a very severe isur, and it's the kind of thing that we eat all year long, so you need to be extra strict. So that's why the Rabban came up with this idea that Chametz Pesach can be asur b'mashuhu. The Rambam, however, in Machlokes Sirus Perek Tes Vav, Halacha Tes, says that Chametz is a davar sheyesh l'matirin. And then, in Halacha, meaning that's why we have to be so machmir, because Chametz is going to become mutter after Yontif anyway. And then in Halacha Yud Beis, he says, but you know what? We're even more machmir by Chametz than we are by davar sheyesh l'matirin. How so? Yira'ili, says the Rambam, Shafilu davar sheyesh l'matirin, im nis'arev b'she'eino mino, v'lo nasan tam, mutter. Even a davar sheyesh l'matirin, if it's a tarovs min b'she'eino mino, and it doesn't give any tam, is mutter. V'al t'tama al chametz b'pesach, aye, what about chametz pesach, zasr b'mashu, even if it's not nosin any tam? You know why we're more machmir by chametz pesach, says the Rambam? Shatara omra kol machmetzes l'suchin, l'fichach ichmir bo k'mosh v'yarnu. That since the Torah specifically asks the Tarovus Chametz, therefore we're going to be Machmir. Now, it's a little bit difficult because the Rambam wants to come up with a reason that Chametz Pesach is more Chamer. So it's two steps that the Rambam takes. Number one, it's Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, so it's more Chamer than your typical Isser. But then number two, it's even more Chamer than your typical Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. because of kol machmetzas. Well, once he has to tell me that it's more machmir than the typical davar sheyesh matirin, why not just go with Rashi? Meaning, why not just say, oh, and you know why it's more common than typical davar sheyesh matirin? Because it's a kares, and it's lebedili and shiminei. What's he bringing kol machmetzas for? So there are two mahalchim I sort of salvechik takes in Shirei Rav in Simin Ayin Zayin to this Rambam. The first is that the Rambam in the first parak of Chametz and Matzah and in Mitzvos Lo Sase Kuf Tzadiches, the Rambam writes that you get Malkus for a Tarovas Chametz, but only if it's a Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. If it's less than that, then it's Aser but no Malkus. So the Ramban in the Asagas to the Sefer HaMitzvos over there asks that if there is a Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, you'd get Malkus anyway because of Tam Ki Iker. What do you need to tell me that you get, Chametz Pesach, because of Kol Machmetzes, you're going to get Malkus if it's a Kzayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. Forget Kol Machmetzes, if it's a Kzayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, it's Tam Ki Iker, you can get Malkus and Tam Ki Iker like you do in Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Ramban says, and even worse, you wouldn't get Malkus, you'd get Kares. Because Tam Ki Iker is Doraisa, and Chametz is Nisar Kares. So you'd get Kares, not just Malkus. So what's the Ram doing over here? You can get Malkus when you have a Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras of a Tarovas Chametz. No, Malkus Kares. And it's not based on Kol Machmetz, it's based on Tam Kikar of Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Minchas Kohen in Shara Tarovas, Chelek Aleph Perek Vav, says that we know the Machlokas Rimir Lings and Rabbeinu Tam, right? We're coming full circle over here. Right? We started this sermon talking about Tam Kikar. That there is this machlokas Rimir Lins and Rabbeinu Tam, whether Tam Kikar is subject to Malkus. Meaning, is it just an Isra Essay, Mishras Hanavim, or do we assume a Hadrali Surakama, right? That whatever the Tam is, it's that Isra that you're violating. Maybe the Rambam holds a compromise view, that a Hadrali Surakama, but only for Malkus and not for Kares. How do I know that when Tam Kikar, who Meichitesi, right, that by Tam Ki Iker, you're going to say a Hadri Li Sur Kama, but only partially. Hadri Li Sur Kama enough to make it a Losa Se, but not to make it, with a Kol Chomer Iser. So he says the source for that, the Makor for that, is Kol Machmetzas. It's from Chametz, where the Torah says Kol Machmetzas, to teach that there's a Losa Se of eating Tam Chametz in the Taroves. So the Rambam quotes the Pasuk by Chametz of Kol Machmetzas, rather than saying Tam Ki Iker, because that's the source for the concept of Tam Ki Iker. When it comes to the mechanism of Tam Ki Iker. Alternatively, though, the Rav Soloveitchik suggests, and this answers the kasha that he started with, in Shirei Rav Simin Ayin Zayin, Rav Chaim held that the Rambam agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, that Tam Ki Iker is totally a Hadri Li Suri Kami, even for an Isser Kares. The reason the Rambam doesn't utilize Tam Ki Iker in his description of Tarovis Chametz is that he's talking about a case where it's not no Saint Tam. Meaning it's possible that you have a Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras, but you can't detect the taste. It's not even Nosin Tam. Well, if it's not Nosin Tam, you're not going to say Tam Ki Iker. And yet it's still going to be Asur Midaraisa. Why? Kol Machmetzas. Kol Machmetzas is a unique din by Chametz. It's almost the exact opposite of Milchus Kohen. So the Kol Machmetzas is from where we learn the fundamentals of Tam Ki Iker. No, Kol Machmetzas is from when you don't have Tam. It's unique then by Chametz, that Tarovitz Chametz is usher even if there's no Tam. So when the Rambam has to talk about an Isser Mashu Chametz, where in the world did the Rabban get this idea? That a Mashu Chametz, that's a Tarovitz of Min B'Shein Omino, and doesn't give any Tam, is going to be more Chamor than a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, which becomes Batel when it doesn't give any Tam. All of a sudden, Mashu, it's not going to be Batel. Even though it doesn't give any time, where does that come from? What pasuk is the Rambam going to quote? Kol Machmetzes. Because Kol Machmetzes tells you that even when there's no Nesinas Tam, you could still have an Isser. Dafka by Chametz. An Isser Doraisa, Dafka by Chametz. So where did the Rabbanon get the idea to be so machmir by the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin of Chametz that it doesn't even become batel in the Tarovs and B'Shein Omino B'Shishim? From Kol Machmetzes. It's based on, it's an expansion of that din d'oraisa. So he brings back the pasuk of Kol Machmetzes that teaches the chametz can be asur b'li nesinas tam. So when the Chacham introduced the isur mashu of chametz, they were simply expanding on the existing din d'oraisa of Kal Machmetas. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explains in Shiurei HaRav. Okay, we will stop there. Bez Hashem. So if you haven't yet gotten through Siman Tzadik Ches, that's what I would strongly recommend to do morning Seder tomorrow. And on Wednesday, Bez Hashem, we're going to start, the plan is to start Siman Tzadik Ches. Good, so that's going to be the plan going forward. So Siman Tzadik Ches starting on Wednesday, Be'ezras Hashem, and I'll send out Mar Mekomos. Siman Tzadik Ches is going to be a Labor Day, you know, it's Eim Vat Nisil Chalchilos. That's going to get, it's going to be a lot of fun, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, have a great day, everyone.